Father, thank you to be able to be in your presence, to be able to be seated with you in the heavenly realms, and this morning to receive from you once again the establishment of what grace is and how to live in it, how to be strong in your grace and your mercy. So we want to thank you for sharing with us your heart to help us here, to strengthen us, to give us courage, to give us hope, so that we can move into a future, Father, with the divine energy within us, a foundation in which we can really be established upon, to be able to go through and just to enjoy and to delight in life, which is quite impossible in our own strength. So we want to thank you this morning, Father, because it's through Jesus that we can receive this tremendous grace that you're giving to us. And we thank you for that. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Okay, guys. This morning, I wanted to just carry on a little briefly on where we left off last week. As we look at the reality of God's grace, you know, let me just get into the scriptures here. You know, in the parable of the sower, you know, we've been looking now, and we're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 4. But in the parable of the sower, we see God's heart in giving us secrets of the kingdom of God. And the secrets is His truth. It's His word for us. And that by the Holy Spirit reveals it so that His word becomes alive, it becomes real to us. And we as believers, we can receive that. The unbeliever's mind is still deceived by the enemy and by deceitfulness of sin. So it's not then, that's why we need the Holy Spirit to break into our lives. Now, and so we look over here, and just in a read over here, that the knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of God is given to you, but to others I speak in parables. And as I shared, that's why you and I are, as believers, we're able to hear, we're able to receive the truth of God. And it's not foolishness to us. It's not just words, but it's real. It's living. It's life for us who believe. But Gary's on and he said, the seed is the word of God. Along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. And as the Holy Spirit is sharing with us right now, just a sort of a deeper understanding of the grace of God, the mercy of God, and how to live in the grace of God, how to be strong in the grace of God. It's the same thing. It's the word of God. It's the seed. And all the time, when one is born again and we have the nature of God, that's the good heart. We are able to receive. And as we abide in Him, as we walk with Him, that this word that God is sharing with us now of how to be strong in His grace, how to live in more and more grace, how to grow in the grace of God, that is being established in our hearts, and that's going to bear fruit. And the fruit of teaching of grace, we will see the evidence of it. We will see the power of God. We'll see the hand of God. We'll see the breakthroughs taking place in our lives. Let's face it, when you and I are needing grace. It's not a pleasant place to be because we're normally stressed. We're normally in a place where we're anxious. We're normally in a place where we need help and we need grace. Okay. And that, so it's not a very pleasant place to be. And that is why God is sharing with us, because that's his heart for us. Remember what we looked at, what mercy is. Mercy is where God sympathizes, he connects with our feelings, but yet the mercy is that he does something to relieve, he does something to help, he does something to deal with that's causing us the anxiety and the stress and whatever the situation that you and I face ourselves on a daily basis. And so he's showing us an incredible way of his heart to help us, even in the midst of all the troubles, to be able to just experience what grace is and what grace feels like, what grace looks like in our lives, plus the mercy side that we've looked at over there. And so last Sunday we looked at this in Hebrews chapter 4. And therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And this is what one of the things the Holy Spirit was emphasizing to us was the reality of holding on to the faith that God has given us. Remember, and the examples that we saw there in Hebrews chapter 2 and chapter 3 was all the time where they let go of faith. Their hearts were hardened because of unbelief, and so they couldn't enter into the promise. But the good heart is a heart that holds on to what God has spoken. Remember what a true disciple is, as we go back, where Jesus says that, yes, you believe, but those who hold to my teaching, they are truly my disciples, and they will know the truth, and the truth sets free. That's the fruit of this, the same year in the parable of the sower. You will bear much fruit. And so here we see the reality of the faith, and we'll come back a little bit to that. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. And this is the reality of our Savior Jesus Christ. He knows that he's not sort of this distant God and cold God. No, he identifies, and because he knows our reality, he knows our struggles, he knows the reality of living in this world and still having the reality of flesh and everybody else against and the sin, or the realm of sin and the realm of Satan controlling the world system and so forth. He knows all of that, and he's done something in his death and his resurrection. He destroyed the works of Satan, so he's done something to help us to be able to experience the abundant life. And so we see here, for we did not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. And that was, remember, the enemies, just like the enemy deceived Adam and Eve, his goal was to get Adam and Eve to disobey God. The same with Satan all the time. His goal was to try and get Jesus to disobey God, so that the reality of Christ's death, the reality of Christ's righteousness will be useless and unimportant. So he then goes and he says in verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And this is where we sort of spent a bit of time last Sunday, just focusing a little bit on this. And we saw over there that because the law came through Moses, grace and truth came into being, it was manifested in the person Jesus Christ. And so what grace is like, what truth is all about, is made known in his son Jesus Christ. Remember, we go back to the time when Jesus says that it's the Father in me who is doing the work. And a powerful scripture is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we see there verse 17, 18, 19. It says here that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not holding the sin against mankind. And so here we see again how the Father is in Son, and the Father in his Son was doing the work of reconciliation. And you can see the heart of God. You can see our Father doing the work so that we can come to him. We can approach God with confidence, the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that he's not going to be saying, yes, but you've done this, you've done that, and that's why you're suffering, that's why this and that, all those kind of things. No, in Christ, you see, that's the reality. In Christ, he has dealt with us and he's reconciled, and now we can come to him. Yes, the Holy Spirit will highlight things in our lives that is hindering us from experiencing the reality of the abundant life. And that's part of God's love for us, to share with us and to show us these things are hindering us, and we can repent from that and follow the way that the Holy Spirit is leading, and to experience the freedom of following the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that we said last Sunday, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And again, the time of need is the appropriate time of God. It's not our timing. This is God's timing. So at the right time, we see over there that God, who understands our condition, and we've come to him with boldness. We are the people that just are honest with God. We're honest with ourselves. There's no pretense. We can really just speak to God from the bottom of our heart, how we're feeling, etc. And we share with him these things. And then he says over there, we can do that without him saying, oh, bad boy, bad girl. But in Christ, there's the truth. There's his love. There's a full acceptance. And then we can come over there that now we may receive. And the receiving is the faith journey. The receiving is that hold firmly to the faith. So we're hearing the word of God now, and the receiving is now the parable of the sower. We receive. Now, we know the reality. We can receive what God is sharing, and we're facing the troubles, and what takes place over there, we lose our joy very quickly. And this is the time where we have to exercise the faith. We've got to hold firmly to the faith. When we heard God speak, God released, we were totally persuaded. What God said was the absolute truth. We can come to him. He's going to help us. He's going to come through and help us in our time of need, because he's promised that's his heart for you and I. And he's sharing as he cannot lie. So we are fully persuaded that that's going to come through. May not just be now, but it's coming through. And so we can walk with faith, because faith can see that which is not yet manifesting. It's not yet seen in the natural. It's the assurance is going to come through. It's a substance now. God's word is a substance. We can now go into our tomorrow on a platform, on a substance, knowing that our Father is going to come through for us one way or the other. It's going to be pretty awesome to experience and to know how he's going to come through for us over there. But that journey is stressful. That journey is full of anxiety and the mind games and so forth over there. And that's the reality that you and I face. But here we need to hold firmly. And that's why, if we can go back to remember in Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And that is why faith is such a big part in receiving and just pressing in to know, God, you're going to come through. But the heart is not hardened because of past experiences, because of you've been disappointed, we've been disappointed by God. But the heart has received that word. The heart has now met. And all the time there is a reality of God has promised, and there's a communication, and there's holding on to that promise of God, being fully persuaded that God is able to do what he has promised in giving us grace and mercy. Okay. And so that is why faith is so crucial for you and I. And that's why right in the beginning, was it last year already, where God started to share with us the difference between the God-given faith, the religious faith, the human faith, and the demonic faith. Human faith, we rely on our own ability. We've got confidence in ourselves. But unfortunately, that's not really sustainable. A demonic confidence will be where he's persuaded us we're not good enough. He's persuaded us that we don't need God. He's persuaded us something else, and we're fully persuaded in that deception, that lie that Satan has spoken. And then there's the religious faith that says, okay, guys, do you want God's grace? Now you've got to go and fast, you've got to go and pray, you've got to do all these other things to be able to get God's grace. Grace comes in Jesus. We simply believe in Jesus, and because we believe in Jesus, we have access to the grace of God. Simple as that. Nothing more, nothing less. It comes in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. Now we have that access. We entered into grace, and we stand in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not in us, but in Christ Jesus. And that's where we stand. And that's a pure, simple faith. And everything about life is trying to get us out of that simple faith that we're in Jesus. Grace comes in him. We experience the grace of God because it comes, Christ made a reality to you and I. And that's where we stand. And that's why we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so that's the reality, and that's why we can come to the throne of grace with confidence because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have access into that grace because of faith. Now, when we go to a scripture here in 2 Corinthians, and that's that famous portion of scripture where Paul is battling with the messenger of Satan. And in chapter 12, and we see there, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. how many times have we pleaded, God, please help, please help, please help. And Paul says three times, because this messenger of Satan is tormenting me, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But then God said something. See, when God speaks, faith is released. Faith comes from hearing God. So when you and I are in that place where God help us, it's tough. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He's going to open up a scripture, and whatever that scripture is, it comes alive to you. God has spoken. Okay. That's now the journey of faith, and grace is released through that journey now. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, this is a famous scripture that you and I know very well, and it's always quoted over there. But this is what our Father wants us to be able to live in. As I shared over there, when we're asking God for help, it's not a pleasant place. We're in trouble. It's painful. It's stressful. There's so many things taking place. We're out of our comfort zone. We don't know the tomorrows. We don't know what the future holds for us. And we're in that place. And our Father is, grace is, our Father is leaning forwards, giving himself to us. Mercy is the action part of that, where we see him doing something to relieve our anxiety, to relieve our situation, to come through with his promises. That's the mercy part of that Hebrews chapter 4, 16 onwards over there. So my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so that's what we need. God's grace is sufficient for you and I. Okay. And I'll explain a little bit more there, because that's a very important scripture over there. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Again, we're seeing the reality of Christ, the power of Christ, the grace of God is made known in Christ Jesus, so that Christ's power. And if you go back to a scripture we said right in the beginning, where Paul's writing to Timothy said, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This is exactly the same. So Paul had experienced something about what it is to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now he's sharing what he knows to Timothy. Timothy, you're in a situation, be out of your depth. You've got strong people all around you that's trying to persuade, that's trying to mess up the ministry over there. Now, it's beyond your ability. It's out of your comfort zone. Now, be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. He's sharing from his own experience of what it is to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Remember that when God, whatever God is sharing with you and I, it's beyond our ability. We're walking in the spiritual realm. We're dealing with the supernatural. We're out of our comfort zone. So we need to operate in God's grace. Operating in our own ability is not getting us very far. We know that. We have to be honest with ourselves. We need God's intervention so that we can operate beyond our own ability to be able to go through the days and to achieve what needs to be done. And that's the freedom, because when you and I are operating in our own ability, it's very, very stressful. But when we're learning now what it is to come to the Father and to receive, by faith you receive, because God says, come, and now he's going to give grace. So you, by faith, thank you, I receive your grace, and your mercy is going to help me. And you start to find how the Holy Spirit works in an amazing way. The power of God now is coming through. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And so we start to experience Christ's power resting on us. His yoke is easy. His yoke is light. Okay, his power resting on us. Big stuff, this. And that's why it's not a fridge magnet. This is for you and I to be established in, to be able to really get it into our lives, so we live daily in the reality of God's grace. And we grow in that. We move more grace upon grace, and it just opens up more and more and more to see a community being touched by God's love, like the town that you're staying in, to see God come through there and all the evil and all the wickedness. It's beyond our ability. We have to begin to live in the grace of God for the families in our towns, for the people in our towns to be born again, to come out of darkness. God's grace. And that's why we have to, when we evangelize, we have to evangelize in the reality of God's grace. When we teach the word of God, when we witness, when we pray for people, whatever it may be, we have to be in that place of knowing the working of God's grace, knowing the working of God's mercy. So when we're praying in the name of Jesus, we are praying in the reality that God's grace and God's mercy is actively being released into the lives of the people that we are praying for. That's the faith reality. So this is so much bigger than just ourselves. This is now to be able to pray for our towns, to pray for our nation, etc., in the place of the throne room of grace and mercy, and knowing that as you're receiving it by faith, you can speak it out when you're praying as part of, and we won't go into that today, maybe next Sunday, of the dynamics of the heavenly realm when we are seated with Christ and we are praying in the realm, in the reality of God's grace, what actually takes place. It's very powerful. And that, but we see over here, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so we know that weakness, it's our human weaknesses, our human ability, just our frailty, our emotions, our whatever, just there. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness. Now, this word boast is, we read these words, but this word boast speaks about to be able to boast from a particular vantage point by having the right foundation, the right base of operation, to deal successfully with whatever the matter may be. So now that we know that we are coming, and Father, we've asked you for grace and we can come, we've received it by faith, now I now will begin to live my day, and I can boast in my weakness because I have a foundation. I'm operating from the foundation of God's grace and mercy. All the difference in the world now. So now that I know I've received it, and that's the faith reality, you're receiving it. It may not be yet manifesting, but now you know you're on a substance more real than the situation. You're on a substance that is real, the faith that God has given, the word that God has given, His grace, His mercy. You're on a substance. So now I can go in my day, I can face the situation on with boldness. I can boast. We can celebrate. We can boast in our weaknesses because we know despite our weaknesses, we're going to see God come through because now we have God's intervention. Christ's power is resting upon us. That's the difference. You see, that's what takes us when Jesus says, He's overcome this world. This is the reality. We're now partaking in that grace, that power of Jesus who has overcome the world. We are on a platform, we are on a foundation that is His incredible help and mercy. He's giving Himself to you and I, the power of God upon our lives to be able to deal with the matter that we are facing. Every day, you and I are going to be facing challenges. Those challenges now is an opportunity for you and I to grow and to be established in this grace of God, to have that base of operation, to have that foundation that is solid, and now we can go forwards because we know we're on the platform of God's grace and mercy, and we can deal successfully because of the power of the Holy Spirit operating and helping us and giving us wisdom and doing the things that you and I cannot do, giving us the understanding of the problems, giving us solutions of the problems, giving us open doors, showing us the way to go. But that's why we have to be free of our own dependence now and say, God, I've tried everything. You know, there was a time when, and I've shared this, but one of the times when I was unemployed, and it was like, I've tried everything in my own strength. I went and I applied all over looking for work and I couldn't find work. And I remember all night just coming to the end of myself. And I was just saying, Lord, I've tried everything. I've gone for interviews. I've tried everything and it's just not, I'm not getting there. And God, help me. Help me. And 2 weeks later, I had a permanent job and started a whole different career. And that's the reality when we just come to the end of ourselves and we come to the place God gives grace to the humble. Help me. And that now we honor, now you receive, and now we honor, we have a vantage point now over our situation. And that advantage point is that we are in Christ Jesus, seated with Him. And what an advantage point that you and I have. So we can deal with it successfully. And then He goes on and He says over there, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. And again, this word delight in weaknesses, again, we read this, but what does it mean to delight in one's weaknesses? The word delight over here means to think well of, to think well of our weaknesses. It's quite, you see, the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you and I. This is a secret, to think well of our weaknesses. Not many people want to think well of their weaknesses, of just the pain that we're in that over there. But now because Paul's on our foundation, His base of operation is grace, mercy, it's truth, it's Jesus Christ, it's who He is. And that, so His base of operation now to be able to continue what God has called Him to do, He can now think well of all the weaknesses because He knows God's got Him. He knows He's on a firm foundation and so He can think well of His weaknesses. It's no longer a stumbling block. It's no longer focus on Himself. It's no longer, self is not in the way anymore. Because so often we can blame ourselves and look at ourselves and that over there and our inabilities. But so, that's been dealt with now because now self has been dealt with. Now he's weak, but God, I'm on a foundation. It's your grace. I can now celebrate in my weaknesses. It's no longer tripping me up because I can't do it, and et cetera, et cetera. I can now celebrate in your tremendous, tremendous grace for my life. What a base of operation for our day-to-day living, the throne room of grace. See, that's our Father's invitation. He wants us to be established in this day after day. Tomorrow we're going to face more challenges. His mercies are new every day. Tomorrow's going to be more challenges, but now we're learning in today to be able to embrace the grace for today so that it's established. So we're learning to be established in grace in today. And then tomorrow we've learned, so that tomorrow it'll be easier to be able to apply and to be established and to take the word of God and to be able to be strengthened in the grace of God. Next week, because we've been practicing, because we've been exercising faith, in a week's time over there, we're going to face more and more challenges, but now we've learned. And so what's happening now? We are being strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We are strong in the grace. And that's the heart of the Father for you and I as believers. So our delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What a testimony. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that's what he was sharing with Timothy and imparting into Timothy. So when we see over here in Romans 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing will. Again, yeah, we want this word to be established. We're going to be facing troubles. So now we're going to hold firmly to the faith we profess. We believe God is gracious. We believe he's merciful. We believe he cannot lie. We're holding on to what he has spoken to us in Hebrews chapter 4. Okay, so now that we're holding on to this over there, as we see, everything's going to come away. And so the pattern of the world, the way the world thinks, is going to try and bombard us so that we will start to think the way the world thinks again and not what the Holy Spirit has spoken to us and given us a revelation of truth. So Paul is writing, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't start thinking that way. Don't start living your lifestyle in that way. The lifestyle is anxiety. The lifestyle is worry. The lifestyle is that there. The way of Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Why worry? You know, the pagans do that. Your Father, you're far more valuable than birds, etc., and the lilies, etc. The Father will take care of you. You just continue to walk in my ways, seek my ways, and be established in my grace, and you will see how it comes through. And so here we have, then he says, do not conform to the pattern of the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is why the establishing of truth is so important, because the battle of the mind is going to be the biggest thing. That's why in understanding in Christ, his truth is your helmet. And so what is the truth? You're appropriating truth, which is protecting the mind from the enemy's deception and the deceitfulness of sin. And he says over there, and be transformed. Remember that the word transformed, we all know, but it deals with an inner change by the power of the Holy Spirit. It speaks about the law of the Spirit of life that's now operating as we have received the truth. Now that the Holy Spirit is appropriating, is applying that truth that God has spoken in Hebrews chapter 4 to you and I, and now we're starting to experience the life of that truth. Truth sets free, and we're finding the freedom from anxiety, the freedom of having to worry about tomorrow. Because we must be honest, we're in the habit of taking tomorrow, the ifs, maybes, and all those things that ifs, and bring it into our now situation. And we are bringing all that ifs into the now situation, and now we're consumed about all those maybes and ifs. Okay, and that no, God is wanting us to be free of that. His yoke is light, and he wants us to travel very light, free of all of this. So in his love for you and I, he's sharing incredible truth that we need to be established. And I find in my own life, every day I have to work this. I've got to receive this. I've got to hold on by faith. I've got to renew my mind to this because of the challenges of the day, and to be established in God's grace. And at the end of the day, you can look back and you say, well, God, thank you. I see your grace. I see the evidence of your mercy throughout the day. Thank you. So that's why. And then he goes, then you'll be able to test and approve. This word test and approve, what really it is that now you're able to be able to know that this truth is the way of God for our lives. And you will be able to experience that is, it is good and pleasing. The truth sets free. And so now as we renew our mind and we get established in the truth that God is sharing, then we will begin to know, but this is truly the way of God for our lives. We know the will of God. His will is for us to approach the throne of grace. You see, that's his will for us. Not about what we're going to be doing in a month's time or in a year's time. Now, today, for us to be established in his grace. And as we just simply receive this, tomorrow he will share something else. And then we take the next step, we get established in grace, and the next day and so forth. He's our shepherd. He knows he's the way, so he's not lost. We're in him, so he's not lost. Okay. And because we're in him, we are not lost. And he knows his way for our lives. But the grace we need today, so that we can be in the place where we can find that grace to be able to just follow him into the day that comes ahead and into the tomorrows. And then finally, as we just quickly close over here, this is why the 2 Corinthians 10, where Paul writes over here, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war, not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Same thing. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to make it obedient to Jesus. And this is our journey right now. As we are facing life, what has God spoken about his promise that we will receive his help, him giving himself, the breakthrough comes, the power comes, and that. And so now as we come and we start to stress, we've got to take our thoughts captive. But Lord, this is what you've said. And now I thank you that. And taking thought captives, because for years we've had our mind just sort of ruling in certain areas of our lives. But now we've got it really, God, you've spoken. Now I need to learn how to be established in that truth. And so taking our thoughts captive, and as we do that, we're in agreement with truth, and then the law of the Spirit of life, the power of the Holy Spirit within us, is doing the inner transformation, and we're becoming more and more like Christ, as we see there in Romans chapter 8. So that's the reality. And then one last thing that will just really help. When Paul writes there, rejoice in the Lord always, I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. That's the throne of grace. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This is just another way that Paul is writing the same thing as what the writer to the Hebrews has been written about. Come to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace in our time of need. It's exactly the same over there. But notice the place once again of thanksgiving. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us give thanks. And so one of the greatest way for you and I to be able to appropriate God's grace coming into our lives is a heart of thankfulness, despite everything. Because remember now we have a solid base of operation. We've got a foundation in order to be able to face the problem, in order to be able to go into your day, into our days, on that base of operation, which is God's grace, which is God's mercy, which is God's power, it's God helping us in and through his son, Jesus Christ. That's our, so we can give thanks. Thankfulness is the expression of faith and the receiving. So as the thankfulness, that's part of us receiving, and we're thanking God. Thank you. We've received that. And so we've prayed. We've come to the throne of grace. We We've shared everything that we needed to share with him there. And now by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we presented our requests to God. And now God, his grace, his peace, that's his grace, that's his mercy, will start to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And that's part of now God coming through and helping us. And in that place of peace, in that place of where our hearts and minds are guarded, we are able to hear the strategies of God, the wisdom of God, the solutions of God. But also, God does things beyond our ability that brings about open doors or closes doors or whatever needs to be done. And the angelic realm has also now been released to assist in bringing about the prayers. But that we will look at when we look at Revelations. So, guys, we have an awesome God. And what a foundation that you and I have. And so as we have, again, just time for the communion, let us approach the throne of grace and just receive whatever it may be. Let us be real to him. But let us know that we've been taken out of our comfort zones. Because in our comfort zones, we don't grow in grace. Okay, we in grace, but we need to be established in more and more grace. And so the only way that we get established in more and more grace is that we get out of our comfort zones and we experience more troubles and trials and things like that. And then we get strengthened and we grow in grace. So we can think well of our troubles. We can be positive because now we know we're on that solid base of operation. So let's give thanks. Father, grace came in your Son Jesus so that because we've been born again and we're in you, Jesus, we live in the reality of grace. Thank you that we can be strengthened and grow now. And we want to thank you that you are giving us hope and assurance that because we've received grace, we know we're on a solid base of living, of operating, of functioning our lives, knowing now that at a time, your time, you're coming through and in a way that's begun to say, wow, God, that we can just give you praise and glory. I want to thank you that if it's left to ourselves, we would have a solution that's very small and limited and pathetic. But now as we step into your grace and you come through, we start to move into, wow, unto you that's able to do immeasurably more than what we've asked or imagined according to your power that is at work within us. So I want to thank you that you were taking us on an exciting journey to go beyond our man-made solutions into your incredible goodness for our lives, that which you have, that which is impossible in our own ability. It goes beyond our finances, our resources. It goes beyond our own abilities and educations and connections, you name it. But now it's in you and what you have for our lives. So we come, Father, into your throne room and we just say thank you. We need you and we receive, Father, today your help. We receive you leading forwards and giving us your grace and your mercy and helping us to be able to just fulfill and to live out that which you have planned for our lives, Father, whatever that may be. So thank you by your Holy Spirit guiding us. And as we celebrate this morning, Jesus, what you have done in giving your life so that we can have access into the throne of grace, we want to just celebrate the power of your blood, the power of your sacrifice on that cross, so that the veil is open and we have freedom, we have access. We can come boldly with confidence and be ourselves in your presence, Father, knowing how much we are loved by you. So today, as we partake in the Last Supper, but we're partaking in supper in the kingdom now, no longer on the earth, and we just want to just rejoice in you, Jesus, and who you are, and the grace that is in you, and this we bless you for that. Amen. enjoy it, just having some communion with Jesus.